Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, 'tis the season for drones.
And thanks to one listener, I have finally found the perfect recipe app.
And an iPhone app that will nag you when you text and walk.
Oh, dear. On iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com/iOS Today. That's Lynda.com/iOS Today. And by Braintree. Even the best mobile app won't work without the right payments API. That's where the Braintree V.0 SDK comes in. One amazingly simple integration gives you every way to pay. Try out the sandbox and see for yourself at BraintreePayments.com/iOS Today. And by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device. Visit Gazelle.com today.
Welcome to iOS Today.
Hi, everybody. Good
we're
to see
breaking
you.
Breaking things. We're spilling things.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. I'm Leo Laporte.
I am Megan Maroney.
And this is the show where we talk about iPads, iWatches, Apple Watches, iPhones, and the Apple TV.
Yes.
Because we've unilaterally decided that even though Apple says the Apple Watch is Watch OS, the TV's TV OS, we know the truth.
Yeah.
It's all iOS.
All the toys. That's what
all
we like
the
to
good
talk
stuff.
About.
The toy store. And
yes.
This is a good time to talk about it.
Yes.
Holidays are here.
Holidays are here.
Shopping season.
Shopping is crazy. Maybe you're shopping for friends, relatives, children.
I got to buy 8 gifts for Hanukkah.
8 gifts for Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm. And then Christmas. And you got to buy 8 gifts for Christmas.
Yes. And you're
12.
A bit late. This is the second day of Hanukkah. Right?
I know. I'm way behind. Fortunately, you've got some really good stuff.
I do. Yeah. Well, Apple also has some suggestions, too, on their website. I thought we could take a look.
From one gift
come many. So they have it organized in a pretty good way. So if your gift recipient likes gaming or photography or music, you can click one of those and go through. They not only have, like, the big things, but they have the accessories that go with it. The SteelSeries Nimbus. Don't say anything bad about that.
I have one.
That is on my list.
No, I bought it.
Oh,
I love
excellent.
It. I got that for the Apple TV for gaming.
And you can also use it for the iPad Pro, too.
Yeah.
It works with both.
Yeah. It's any Bluetooth device, but it's particularly iOS focused, even your
one.
iPhone.
I don't know if my children are listening, but that might be on the list.
I don't know if my mom's listening, but...
You got her the SteelSeries?
I got her because she's a huge gamer. No, but she's an artist, and I wish that one of those categories was art, because I think the iPad is a really amazing art tool. She likes to draw. In fact, years ago, I got her a Wacom tablet and a program called Paint, and she just did so many... Because Paint had kind of natural papers and natural media, so you felt like you were really using oils or watercolor, and she loved it. Before that, she had Dabbler. I don't know if you remember Dabbler. Both programs kind of Windows now, and she's been doing it on her, believe it or not, her Galaxy Note 4. I gave her a Galaxy Note 4, and she's using the stylus to do that. I think she's going to love the iPad Pro and the pencil. So that's a good start for somebody who's an artist.
Yeah, but you have to have the iPad Pro in order to get the pencil. The pencil won't work on anything
else. So it's an expensive gift,
for
but my mom is worth it.
Yes, all moms are worth it. I personally would say that.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things on everyone's list, all children and adult hobbyists, drones. Drones, that's a big gift.
Drones. And you know what's interesting? Most of these drones, like the parrot drones, they started it. We're designed to work with iOS devices.
Right. So we have 3 parrot drones here. This one AR Premium. We're not going to fly this one because I would like to keep my head on my shoulders. I don't want to...
We should... You know, these are quadcopters. The technology in here is basically cell phone technology. They have accelerometers. They're able to stay level. They're much easier to fly than a remote-controlled airplane. But it is essentially a remote-controlled helicopter, with, well, quadcopter. And they take a little bit of skills. They've gotten better and better now, though. You know, many of them, you can press one button, they go in the air. They have cameras built in, so you don't have to worry about how much weight they can carry. This has got a 720p camera. But they're pricey. How much
is this? One's $450. Yeah, $450.
Yeah. I bought the Bebop drone, also from Parrot.
And you used it how many times?
I used it once. Well, no, because it crashed, and now it flies sideways, and I have to get Father Robert to fix it.
Did it have these styrofoam bumpers here?
Yeah, it's an option, though, on the Bebop. You can take them off if you're going to be flying them outside. This is more for an indoor thing, because you don't want it to, you know, hit your expensive TV or your mom's vase. So it's a nice idea to have these bumpers on there. It's also better for people, I think.
Yeah, the reason why we're talking about these drones is that you control them with your iPad or your iPhone your iOS device.
You wouldn't want to control with your Apple Watch, I don't
think. No, so here's the app.
So you're seeing the output of the camera right now.
Yes.
All right.
So this is Jet is the smaller one. It's not the flying drone. It's the rolling around drone. And this.
Oh, this is cool. So this doesn't fly.
No.
And so, it's a lot less expensive.
It is, yeah.
So who's going to drive?
This one, I'm going to drive it. It's now connecting to.
Okay, so in most cases, these will set up their own Wi-Fi access points. And then you have to go into your Wi-Fi and you look for not the Wi-Fi access point you're usually on, but the drone itself. Do you see it there? Maybe it's on a different network. Is it turned on?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That's why it wasn't responding. So this is always a little bit. The beginning of all of this is a little tricksy. I don't know if it uses Bluetooth. Does it use Bluetooth?
No. One of them uses Bluetooth, and one of them uses Wi-Fi, interestingly enough.
We killed the battery.
It's dead.
By the way, actually, no, that's good, because that's another thing to think about with drones. You might want to get an extra battery or two, because the batteries do run out fairly quickly. They typically 10, 15, 20 minutes. So if you're going to do a lot of flying with your drone, I guess, you know, when your kid opens that present, that's the first thing they're going to want to do. It's nice to have a couple extra batteries charged ahead of time. I got two batteries for my Parrot.
We do have an extra battery. I think we do have an extra battery.
Oh, here comes Father Robert. He's done battery surgery.
Drone doctor.
Now, do they still call this a drone, even though it's, in fact, a vehicle?
Well, it's from Parrot. They call it a... This is... The drones, they're now named, I guess, so you want to collect them all kind of thing. This one is called Jet. And
so now you should be able to see it.
Connect.
Is this one Bluetooth, Robert, or is this Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so go back to your Wi-Fi. You should see it pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
There you go.
There's Jet.
So this is one tricky thing. The software will walk you through this. But what's weird is you go into the software and it won't see a drone until you connect it. Now you're seeing the output of the vehicle.
Yes.
That's a pretty good camera, too.
So it can jump. Let's see.
Whoa! That was good. That was a couple of feet, it looked like. Look at that. And you steer it, you know, you can't steer it because your iPad's on the case right now, but you steer it by steering the iPad like you would a steering wheel. So really, unless you're willing to, there you go.
There we go.
Yeah, you see, and it's so cool. And for $100, this is the best remote control vehicle you'd ever have, I think. You know why the jumping's great? Because as you saw, it got caught on a wire.
Right.
It's not unusual for a drone to hit a curb or get caught on something. And the fact that you could just jump out of trouble like that.
Right.
It's also great for scaring animals.
It can do all these kinds. It can spin.
Whoa! Oh, the kitties will love
slalom.
This.
Wow. Metronome.
Does it have any autonomous capabilities? I mean, can it fly? Drive? I guess not.
One of my boys said it. He did something where he set it on a little path. You can
he programmed it. Oh, that's neat.
To go on a path.
I think this is a bet. Frankly, unless you know that your giftee is really adept with the remote controlled flying things, this is probably a better gift. Less expensive, less likely to get lost. And that is awesome. Every drone I've ever bought, I've lost. That's one of the reasons Father Robert said your first drone should be a cheap drone.
This one, you should have gotten this one.
This looks so cool. $100 is great.
I don't know what it's doing now, but
now you do need an iPhone or an iPad to drive it around.
Yes, you do need.
And remember, because your iPhone or iPad is connected to the Jet, you can't surf the net with it.
Right.
It's busy.
Yeah, it is busy.
It's busy driving.
It's dancing.
That is really strange.
It is. It's a slow shake.
Is it supposed to do that?
That's called the slow shake.
You actually press the slow shake
button? Slow shake, yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Slow shake, the spin.
I am in love with this now.
It is pretty cute. I mean, my kids loved it. They're 10. They enjoyed it. I mean, you know, it does have a camera on it. It does. So, you know, you got to remind them to keep
great
it out of
you
private
have pets.
Areas.
You can really drive the pets crazy.
Yes, great if you
want to
spy.
Don't drive it into your private areas. That would hurt. And there's Father Robert. He's flying it. It has a real Star Wars look to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. So it's This one is $100. I'm almost 100% sure that it's $100.
Almost 100%.
Let's also look at
Thank you, Robert.
One. Are you ready to...
Are you... Now, let's
we'll do the
get ready
one,
to
and
fly.
And I gave Burke my iPhone because I have the app on my iPhone.
But this is a cheap one. This is not an expensive...
This is also $100.
Yeah, see... and there's even less expensive ones. This is kind of a midget.
And it's sturdy.
Yeah.
This is a cargo drone.
It doesn't have a camera.
No, it does not.
But it will carry things, small things.
And this one has fallen. We've knocked it into stuff.
Kids love drones, but I got to tell you, it's not an easy thing to fly one.
And it gets frustrating in that, like, you know, that 30-minute life, battery life, or 40-minute battery life, or whatever it is, can be frustrating for a kid.
Yeah.
It's our
and
the two-minute battery. We had those waiting.
That's it? That was a battery died on us?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll show you a video that I took over.
Now, my first drone was a SEMA. That's the one Father Robert recommended. Mm-hmm. They're only about $40. They're really kind of junky drones, but that's the idea. They're light, so if they hit somebody, it's not going to hurt them.
Right.
And if you lose them, it's $40, but it's not the end of the world. It's not $100 or $1,000. The first time I played with my SEMA, the first thing I did is I pushed the button to go up, and then it went up, and then I kept going up, and then I pushed the button to go down, and it kept going up. It disappeared like a little balloon, like a tiny little dot in the sky, and I never saw it again. So just be aware that can happen, you know. And what's worse is if you fly it somewhere and the battery dies or you lose control of it and drops out of the sky in somebody's head. So these things should be, and there are starting to be FAA rules and regulations. I think. You could play with a drone if you know somebody's going to be smart, you have some experience, maybe you're going to give them some attention and supervise them. I like the jet. I like the rolly thing.
This one isn't going to hurt you, but the cargo one you can also attach things to. We attached some holiday ornaments.
Wow, it really will hold
to that
stuff.
One, and it, yeah.
Oh, are you going to decorate the tree with your drone?
Yeah, decorate the drone. The drone is going
And it's interesting because your dog is, or is that a horse?
That's my dog.
Your dog is completely ignoring the drone.
No.
He has no
interest.
Yeah,
he's pretending it's not there. So, Parrot. These are all from Parrot, all controlled with your iOS device. And if you have a kid that is younger, like too young to have an iOS device, I mean, consider that, too, because you'll be handing over, you know, your
but
iPad or your
it would
iPhone.
Work with an iPod Touch as well as an iPhone and
or an iPad.
iPad
so. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I like the ones with cameras. There's really an amazing thing. David Pogue has a theory, the former New York Times writer, good friend of our network, and also now writing at Yahoo Tech. His theory is that drones are giving us a new look at our world. We're basically in a two-dimensional world, right? You know, because we walk on the surface of the planet, it's somewhat three-dimensional, but it's essentially two. He says, because we can now lift up off of the Earth and look down at our houses, our streets, our lives, we're getting a unique new perspective on our lives. And I think that's kind of interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah. It's like there's two sides to every technology story. There's the, my privacy is being violated.
Well, another thing. Don't fly it into the neighbor's yard and stuff.
Don't. Yeah.
If respectful. You can.
But that's the other side. Like, we're getting a new look into.
Now, okay. I got this, and I really wanted to share this with you today because I was so excited about it. And you're going to say, well, what does that have to do with an iPad? This is a $100 Windows 10 computer called the Kangaroo. And Paul Thurrott pointed me to it. You can buy it on Newegg. It's battery powered. About 4 hours of battery life where you can use it plugged in. It comes with a dock that allows you to connect a HDMI port, a keyboard and mouse. There's two USB ports. It also has on the other side more room for memory with the micro SD cards and a micro USB port. I just got it today, so I haven't had a lot of experience with it. But Paul said the folks who make this Kangaroo have software. It doesn't come with a software. You have to download it called OS Lynx. It's also available on the iPad. And then, and I really want to get this working. We tried hard and I was having difficulty, so we can't show you. Maybe next week I'll be able to show you. But then you can use an iPad as the screen, and it will use the touch as a mouse, and it will use any attached Bluetooth keyboard as a keyboard. So if you're, I mean, I know this is iOS today and we all have iPads, but if you thought, well, I would love to have a Windows computer too, $100, this is the Kangaroo. And I think it's from InFocus. You may know that name. They make PowerPoint projectors. Quite a good company. They've been around a long time. But I was having difficulty. I don't know if it was cabling or I was rushing. But I couldn't get it to work with my iPad, so we'll try again, and maybe next week I can show you. But isn't that interesting for $100?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people use Windows and have iPads.
There's times when you might need Windows, and iPad's not enough. And mm-hmm. and considering that you spent $1,000 on this iPad, it actually makes a pretty good monitor too. So there you have it.
All right, I have a few other gifts. I talked about the quad lock.
Let's go something less expensive.
Yes, I talked about the quad lock system last week.
Which I have, you know, the equivalent of, which is, where'd it go? Now, I had it for a while. We were talking about, it's fallen down, the Roku, Rock Form.
This is the quad lock. I talked about it, and I had the mount for your car. This is the wristband, which is good for runners.
Now, compare that to this, because is it the same? It looks very similar.
Let's see if we can use the Rock Form with the quad lock.
Wouldn't that be funny? You know what they did? They rotated the notches so that they're not in the same place.
Mm.
You see that? So your phone or your device would be kind of sideways a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. It's like the inside.
It's not compatible. Out. But yeah. I love this idea. You know, I have a knob on my dashboard. I also have a magnet. One of the things Rock Form's great is they have magnets. They also have all kinds of bicycle mounts and things like that. Yours is
called the quad lock.
Quad lock.
And so, you know, you can buy them by part, like I said last week.
Oh, this would be good for working out.
Yeah, for running, for lifting weights. Because especially if you have this big thing.
Yeah.
And it's really, it hooks it in portrait or landscape. So you can.
I always thought a little odd when people have giant iPhones on their biceps. Man, look at those guns.
I like to listen to podcasts while I'm lifting weights. And this is I can set it down, but.
You could get an iPod Shuffle or something, but.
Why would you do that? Then I can answer my phones and, answer my phone, check Facebook while I'm running.
Punch yourself in the face. There's all sorts of things you can do with that.
So the whole system, both of these together, is $90. But just the. If you already have a case and you just need the armband, it's about $30.
In general, cases are a nice gift for somebody.
Just because
you know they have
an
iPhone.
I'm going to keep this here the whole show. Because
that doesn't look at all weird.
No, it doesn't. Might be filming you right now.
Every year we've talked about this as a really nice adjunct if you like to do iPhonography. This is the Alloclip. I seem to think it was a Kickstarter or something like that when it first started. I've had an Alloclip for years. And they now have Alloclips that work with the 6S. This is actually a 6 Plus. But I think it should still work. It's not
the
S.
Same size, I think.
A lot of the cases I use fit fine, only stuff with really tight tolerances. So the idea is, this is kind of crazy, but this thing is a series of lenses for your iPhone that allows you to do things like very wide angle or telephoto or even macro photography. Now, the negative, of course, is you'll be carrying this thing around, although they've really improved, I think, the technology now. This is a lot more portable and a lot more... with a little carrying case, a little bit more usable. So this is the macro. Let's try the macro. See, the macro, you should get really close, and that I love it for the macro because you can get a really close up picture of something.
Maybe if you hooked it to my armband, it would work.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so the macro's working.
Oh, whoa!
But you have to get really close. But
someone's going to steal your fingerprint.
Yeah, that's almost like. This is like a microscope almost. You can really see the details. But as with all macro photography, focus is tricky. But there you go. So that's a macro. If you took it off, you'd see we can't get nearly as close to an image. The focus length, the closest focus length on the iPhone is maybe 5 inches. But you put the macro on, and you can get right in there. Macro photography is essentially taking a one-to-one image. The image will be roughly the size of the actual thing in life. So let's get this guy's eyeball. Whoa, man. Whoa, trippy dude. You're actually close enough that you can see the screening, the dots in the screening for the printing on the box.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is cool.
So I like that. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong with the other side. But you get the idea. This
is it supposed to work both sides?
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. One little device
and then what
does all sorts of different lengths. Well, let's read. This clip comes pre-installed with an insert for the iPhone 6. Oh, okay. Maybe I need to use the iPhone 6.
It's not the Plus
clip.
Oh. That's good. So, if
please
you have
remove
a 6,
the installed insert and replace with the other one. Well, I like these and I've used them for a long time. I've got some really great macro. You know, I find after a while you don't want to carry this around, but they've made it a lot more easy to, you know, kind of put it on your keychain and carry it around because it's got the covers and the holder.
I have a little stocking stuffer here. You know, this one is from Fuse Chicken. It's a bobine key clip. It's reinforced steel, and it's a lightning cable.
Wow. Oh, that is sweet.
Yeah. So,
I think those kind of accessories are probably the best.
Yeah, it's just a nice little thing. I mean, you don't have to get this one from Fuse Chicken, although I like it, and it's not going to get chewed up or wrecked, you know, keys or, because it's, they've taken a chainsaw to this. I recommended these. They have a Apple Watch charger. They have a dock for your car. And I like this one, and it's just about $30, which is a good price for a gift. The Titan Loop is what it's called, and it fits.
Nice.
So you have emergency. As long as you have a USB to plug into, you can.
You know what I like about that? It's not particularly expensive, but it looks like it is.
Yeah.
Looks like you spent some money.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, I didn't just give you some old keychain. I gave you a Titan Loop.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If you want to show someone you love them, then this is how you do it.
By the way, the Olo clip is how much?
6S.
6 plus.
79, the 4-in-1
$80 bucks.
Lens. Yeah.
$100 if you want the active lens.
You know, we talk a lot about reading manuals and how you don't like to do them and learning about stuff.
This is the manual. It's a piece of cardboard.
But you know, if you really want to learn something, where do you go?
I go to lynda.com. Is it time to talk about them?
I think it is.
You know, the nice thing about lynda.com, it's a lot easier to figure out than these things are. It's lynda.com is a place you should go if you're a curious person, if you like to learn, if you want to polish up skills for work. Or maybe you have a hobby and you just like to get better at photography or 3D design, coding. That's my hobby, believe it or not. I love to code. Here we are in the week of code, right? This would be a great place to go to pick up a new language, a new discipline, or to polish up your skills in a language you already use. LYNDA.com. We've got actually a kind of a cool deal. 10 days free if you go to lynda.com/iOS today. Photography, folks. Yeah, look at that. Programming for non-programmers, iOS 9, and Swift. Todd Perkins does a great job on those. If you're interested in photography or image editing, check out Linda's latest courses like iPhone and iPad photography with iOS 9, creating cards, calendars, and books with photos for OS 10. I want to do that from now on. At the end of every year, take some of the best pictures from the year and make a book. We can put it on the shelf, and then you'll have each year kind of a yearbook, a family yearbook. Wouldn't that be a good idea? They can help you do that. They have courses on performance tuning your Canon digital SLR or Nikon D5500. They get that specific. Series like Photo Tools Weekly. Bert Monroy's Pixel Playground, always a favorite. This week, Bert is showing you how to design a billboard, a downtown theater marquee kind of thing. It's really cool. And the DIY photographer teaching you low-cost tricks and techniques to improve your photos. That's just a few of the over 3,000 courses on demand. Yeah, let's look at that Bert Monroy, the Pixel Playground. It's that big. It's like from his Times Square thing. It's that theater marquee there. It's so, or maybe it's a phone booth. I guess it's a phone booth. It's so cool. When you learn how to do stuff from somebody like Bert Monroy, you're learning from the best. A guy who's a great teacher, but also does this professionally. It's his super talent. You can get a super talent yourself. Each course has a transcript. You can follow along or search for the answer you're looking for to skip right to that point. Or maybe you're a completist and you like to go from the first episode to the last. They make it as easy as can be. You can even download tutorials and watch them on the go, accessing them on your iOS or Android device. I want you to try it 10 days free. LYNDA, lynda.com/iOS today. I know you're going to love it. And, you know, this would be a great gift for a learner in your household. Maybe you got a high school kid who's really showing some promise in graphic design. Just get them a subscription to lynda.com.
That is a great gift.
I think that'd be a good idea, wouldn't it?
All right. So what's been going on in iOS this week. Today there was some news. Dropbox, I don't know if you heard.
I was disappointed because I used Carousel.
I did,
so
too.
They're killing two apps that they use as an adjunct to Dropbox.
Right.
Carousel was the app that lets you look at the photos you're saving on Dropbox.
I think I have it open because I used to have all my photos on Dropbox.
Yeah.
And so I used Carousel.
Carousel was great for that.
Yeah.
I guess not many people used it. That's the only thing I
guess
can... I think about
my Carousel. There it is. I mean, it looks. I think what I think Google Photos and Apple
maybe that's
Photos
what it is.
Just does it just so much better.
Ate their thunder.
So it's very similar, but without all those features like Google Photos, you can do the facial.
But
recognition.
You know, they have the time hop style feature where they say,
they
"Here's
do.
Your photos from a certain period."
And now Google Photos does that.
They do
too.
That too now.
And I think that is the case with Mailbox and Carousel. They had the well Mailbox they bought.
Let's talk about Mailbox because that's making me angry. Okay. Mailbox was a great program that really reinvented how you do mail on iOS. That's the first one to have swiping. Now everybody's doing it, right?
Right, swipe to archive.
Swipe to archive, swipe to delete, swipe to a schedule. It was a revolution in UI. Sarah and I on iOS iPad today talked about it and recommended it many times. Dropbox bought it. We crossed our fingers. Of course, there were other programs like Acompli that came along. Microsoft bought them. And in fact, Microsoft Outlook has the same kind of swiping features. And I guess Dropbox said, well, we don't need to make Mailbox anymore because so many people are doing this technique now. But it's sad to me because it was a great app in its day, but these things happen.
Well, it's interesting. I think it's interesting that they are getting rid of both of them at the same time because it is. They had great features that then someone did, even not even necessarily better. They're just bigger companies, Google Photos, Apple. I mean, Dropbox got everywhere first. They got to, like, clouds, storage first. They got I don't know what happens there.
Well, Dropbox is not, and we should say, Dropbox is not going away. They're going to still do Dropbox. They're focusing on Dropbox and eliminating some of the smaller things. It's kind of like Evernote when they eliminated Hello and the food app. Mm-hmm. Sometimes those things can be distractions. And I bet you anything they have metrics that say, well, nobody was using it.
Right.
In fact, I'll be honest. I was using Carousel. I was using Mailbox. I haven't used them in a long time.
And
I think that's probably part of the problem.
Right. I was using both before, but now I use Outlook because it's better.
Right.
And, I mean, the reason why I don't use Dropbox as much anymore is there's so much free cloud storage.
Just shows you how hard it is to innovate and then stay ahead.
Yeah.
So
that happened.
That happened.
Okay, I have some, we're decorating for the holidays, decorating your house, decorating your front yard. Now you can decorate your Apple Watch.
I got an inflatable dinosaur with Santa Claus on him,
That's awesome. On your Apple Watch?
No, on my backyard.
But you could take a picture of it, and then it could be on your Apple Watch.
What do you mean? I mean I could have it like my desktop?
The custom face,
are you doing a custom holiday face?
Yes.
Like,
to change
Apple
it, you just
achiever.
Press hard on there, and then... I already made this one. I have a lot of faces that I've made.
So there's two different ones that there's an individual photo face, and then there's like a slideshow photo face, right?
Yes.
That looks like me in there.
That's you.
Do you have me on your watch?
Some days I do.
So this way, with individual photos, you can make multiple faces. Because that picture's not going to change.
No, that one's not. If it's a live photo, it would change.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Let's see if that. I think.
So
that's
how you get an
photo.
Animated face, kind of like Apple does.
So yeah, you can
that's
do if
cool.
you have, or just a snowy scene like that.
Oh,
so just
yeah,
you just
refreshing.
Go to your photos, real super easy.
little tiny dot there. Pick a photo.
Then, you can pick a photo. Yeah. Here's the one. I think that might have been a live photo.
Looks see. Like it because it's loading.
I think that
like.
Was the drone and the tree. Just as fast.
That's very Christmassy.
Then,
a drone putting Christmas.
And then just quickly create watch face.
So what did you do? You swiped down? You pressed hard?
Pressed
what
hard.
Do?
I did the 3D touch.
Force touch.
Force touch, right. Force touch on the watch. So.
All right, that's nice.
Holiday fire.
Force touch. That's great. Your favorite picture.
Here's a study that I thought you might be interested that I saw in the week. Since we're talking about iPhones, this is where you text message. Text messages ending in a period are seen... Do you need to take that?
No. Just a text from my mom.
Oh, did it have a period at the end of it? Let's look.
And a question mark.
Oh, okay, that's different.
But my mother, and I'm the same way, we believe in punctuation. Our kids, my kids, laugh at me.
Mm-hmm. Well, text messages with a period at the end are seen as less sincere by 100.
So look at Henry's messages. Okay. No periods.
So he's being sincere.
No periods. He's more sincere. Look at my mom's message.
Mom.
Full punctuation, quotation marks, commas, exclamation marks.
She's missing some periods.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh,
your
look.
Your package is coming tomorrow. Don't open till Christmas.
It's from Amazon.
She meant that sincerely.
Yeah. That's more sincere than the other one.
Yeah. So that's what study said. Periods at the end. I don't know. What do you think? Do we need punctuation in text messages?
That's interesting.
You can email me, Megan.
My kids, I swear, they mock me for putting a period in.
Yeah.
And if Apple didn't uppercase the first letter in the message, that probably wouldn't happen either, right?
Right, exactly. So, yeah. And that's what I got for this week.
All right, let me just text my mom. No more periods, Mom.
I need to know if you're sincere.
You don't sound sincere. I didn't put a period on my response to her. Just send it.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? The period slows you down. You just want to press send.
Right.
You don't want to press dot send. Just send.
I can see where they're coming from also with the period at the end of that, at the end of a sentence, because it's kind of like you're making it more formal.
I see WYCFM.
In case.
I see where you're coming from.
Oh, I see where you're coming from.
That's my new, I just invented that. I'm going to use that from now on all the
so
time.
So easy. Yeah. I see W something.
I was watching Jeopardy the other day, and they had, texting acronyms, none of which I've ever seen used.
Mm.
I think the media makes up the people
I think
use
they do.
These.
Yeah.
You know? There's a few, like YOLO. Mm-hmm. LOL. Mm-hmm. But then there's all these elaborate ones that nobody...
Well, my kids taught me one this weekend. Fam.
F-A-M?
Fam is like your friends.
Yeah, fam.
Your fam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having kids is really a blessing.
Really
because
is.
That way you keep
and
up with the lingo.
Yeah, exactly.
And a curse. I
see W-Y-R-C-F, Gardner says.
I see W-Y-R-C-F. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Actually, that's really... maybe I-S-W-Y-R-C-F. Mm.
Yeah.
You don't write C U L A R, do you?
I don't do any of that.
Okay.
No. I speak only in emoji when I'm texting.
Stickers. Emoji is old hat.
Yeah.
It's all
stickers.
About the stickers.
Mm-hmm.
Should I do an ad and then we'll come back with questions?
With some questions from you.
I love that.
Yes.
Our show today brought to you by the great folks at Braintree. You know, every mobile app developer is looking for a payments system. Same for the website. If you want to sell something, you need a great payments API. Let me tell you, you probably want to use the one that, I don't know, who's really good at payments? Uber uses and Lyft. Airbnb and hotels tonight. GitHub. Yeah, they all use Braintree Payments. The beautiful V.0 SDK makes it easy for your customers. In fact, you know that Braintree says about 70% of all mobile shopping carts are abandoned before payment. I know I did that the other day because it didn't work right. I wanted to buy something. I went through the whole process, and then the payment didn't work right. They should have been using Braintree. Braintree makes it easy. Your customers are reassured. Fraud protection. It's a great experience. It's a smooth experience. Well, look at Uber, right? That's the magic of Uber. You go for the ride. You get out of the car. It's done. And not only that, Braintree accepts every form of payment, period, from Apple Pay to Android Pay to PayPal, Venmo, credit cards, of course, even Bitcoin. And if something new pops up, Braintree supports that, too. So, to recap, simple for you, 10 lines of code. Secure payments, great for you and your customers. Developers, you'll be done in minutes, and you don't have to code this, which is nice. In fact, if you don't have time, they'll even handle the integration for you. It supports Android, iOS, JavaScript. They have SDKs in 7 languages, .NET, Node.js, Java, Perl, PHP, Python, Ruby. Clear documentation, elegant code. Oh, look at that. The Pinterest buyable pins. That's Braintree. Braintree. Try it right now. BraintreePayments.com/iOS today. Your first $50,000 in transactions. Fee-free. From Braintree. Why is Ron Swanson staring at me?
He's still staring at us.
He's
from the Apple TV.
There
I'm not
staring.
Sure. We have a question about the Apple TV, but
we'll talk about Ron later.
We will talk about the Apple TV. So you had an additional app
talked
about eating apps. You have one, and Brandon S. from Fort Worth also has another one.
So. Okay, so I was looking for, and I knew that we talked about a number of recipe, meal planning, shopping list apps, and there's really a ton of them. And we talked about some, but somebody emailed me, and I don't have the person's name, and I apologize, but he said, you missed the boat. I think it was on Twitter, actually. In fact, I'll find it for you, because I know it was on Twitter. He said Paprika.
Mm.
Now, Paprika is not free, but here's what it does. It's about $6 on iOS. They also have it on Android. They also have it on Windows and Macintosh desktop applications. And they all sync with one another over a free account. There's no monthly fee. So that means when you've entered a recipe in, it's everywhere. So let me show you. This is Paprika. And I entered all of these recipes in just a matter of minutes because, and this is so cool, it has a web browser. So if I go to a site, let's go to the Food Network, right? And this is built into the Paprika app. And I say, oh, you know, I really think these hermit cookies, I love hermit cookies, don't you? I think they look good. And I want to see
what
the
are
recipe.
Hermit cookies?
What? You don't know? They got molasses, they got raisins, they're really good. It only cinnamon, allspice, ginger. It's a nice Christmassy cookie. So you see, here's the recipe here. But the problem is I don't want to manually enter it. So look at the bottom of my screen. Oops, let's get rid of this pop-up here real quickly. And this works on almost any site, including the site that I've been getting my recipes from, Dr. Furman's. Save recipe. It down. Look at it. Look at
That's good.
Look at it. Not only did it download it, it created, let's go back to my recipe book because it's in here now, Hermit Cookies, automatically created a recipe, including the image from the Food Network site, says where it got it from, all the ingredients. I mean, it understands. It can read this site and understands it. You can add a category later if you want, and you can put it in your shopping cart. You can even set timers in this, so you can use this as your recipe book. That once you've got stuff in the shopping cart, it will sort it out. So these are the ingredients in the hermit cookies, right? I probably shouldn't add these to my shopping list because that's probably not going to make.
You just did.
But, oh, well, now I'll have to buy them. I just can't eat them. So your entire grocery list, and it's brought together by aisle, right? Dairy, pasta, produce. So that saves you a lot of shopping time. This is fantastic. This is everything on the list. This is what I bought. This is what I still need to buy. As I check things off, it moves it in the other column. I mean, I can just go on and on. Meal planning, it's a snap. Very easy to drag a recipe into the meal. And let's say I'm going to make artichoke lentils for tonight. All right, we'll save it right there. And it's been added to the meal plan. It will then add it to my recipe list. It's pretty. It's effective. But the best part of all is the easy import. That from a browser built in, so you don't have to copy and paste or do anything. We were talking about Big Oven. That has an import feature, but you have to say this is an ingredient. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to. There's some effort involved. Finally. A very simple program. It will also import and export recipes in all the standard database formats. There are quite a few recipe formats out there. I'm really happy about this. Thank you, and I'll find your name, but thank you for the suggestion. It's called Paprika. It's not free, but I don't mind because there's no ads in it. You do, if you're going to use it on the desktop, you have to buy that separately. It's a little more expensive, $5 for the iOS version. I bought it on all the platforms I use because I want to be able to sit down on my desktop and do the meal planning, and then I want to have it on my iPhone when I'm shopping, right?
That's smart.
Paprika.
So Brandon S. also had a suggestion.
Okay.
He is from Fort Worth. It sounds pretty similar. His suggestion was called basil.
another fine ingredient.
By Kyle Baxter. That's $4.99, so about the same price as paprika.
I guess I'll have to try
and
that too now.
It does seem to organize and cook your recipes.
No, it doesn't cook them. Does it cook them?
Because
that I would buy.
Recipes. That doesn't really make sense. Organize and cook your recipes. I guess it just means, you know, it helps you organize and cook your recipes.
And thanks to Tony Gray, who tweeted me, and he said, I've used Paprika for years. Actually, my whole family uses it, and they all sync to the same Paprika account, which you can do. At least it's set up on the same account, not a separate account.
Nice.
So my parents, my grown kids all have the same family recipe, which is really a great idea. I'm going to add my mom to Paprika because I'd like to get some of her recipes. It'd be easy for her to add those.
Right. Yeah, Basil was solving the problem you were having last week, and they have instructions to add a sharing plugin for Safari that imports for virtually any site.
See, this is built into Paprika.
Yeah.
So I'll take
a
look at Basil.
But,
and it is pretty, but I think Paprika is the one for me at this
Basil
point.
Basil has automatic cooking timers also.
Oh.
Do you use your Alexa for cooking timers?
I do.
Yeah, me too.
Or do you know that you can ask Alexa how long left on a timer?
Yes.
That's
that
nice, too.
That is a great
too.
Feature. Yes.
She's our favorite cooking friend.
She's just my favorite friend in general.
You could be cooking and say, tell me a joke.
Right. And the
Love
political
that.
Jokes. That was.
Tell me a Barack Obama joke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not good jokes, But they're the kind of jokes, they're so bad, you have to kind of groan and laugh.
Right. And she tells the same ones. Like, you ask her to tell.
Are they repeat?
Like, she only has one Donald Trump joke. And there are more out there.
So, you are just giving me an opening a mile wide, but I am not going to take it.
Jean wanted to know, she has a question, and we have her voice on our voicemail. We have a voicemail from Jean.
Hi, Jean.
Sorry, I skipped it.
Hello. I am Jean, calling from Moline, Illinois. I am legally blind, and I use the old Apple TV that VoiceOver works on really nicely. And I am hesitant to buy the new Apple TV because I haven't heard any chatter about whether VoiceOver works with it or not. So if you could tell me that it does, I might consider purchasing one. Thank you very much, and I love your show. I listen to it every week.
So
on my old Apple TV.
Right on. So, of course, the new Apple TV has Siri, so you can talk to it. Mm-hmm. But what Gene wants, the voiceover feature, and you might have seen it on the Stevie Wonder Christmas Apple ad, when he's first composing on his laptop, the voiceover says, you're now on the piano track. You're in a little robotic, but it's you're on the piano track. You're on it. And so it would be very nice if voiceover were built into the current Apple TV.
It is.
Yay!
It is. So I don't know where our Apple TV remote is, but it's somewhere around here. Under my hat. Oh, thank you.
Keep it under your hat.
So
there's Ron Swanson. By the way, that's Nick Offerman, who plays Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec, Yule Log. And he just sits there.
He's been drinking whiskey the whole time.
Drinking whiskey and staring at me.
The whole time we've been doing this.
It's the strangest screensaver.
That's probably why we're a little nervous.
So is he saying something?
My YouTube.
Oh, it's on.
It's on.
Offerman's Yule Log video duration. 44:56.
That's voiceover.
1,964,980 views.
Fantastic.
Button, 3 of 73.
I'm not surprised.
My YouTube. Tab.
So to turn it off, you press the menu button 3 times.
I'm not surprised because
YouTube.
Apple's
row 4,
really.
Movies.
Okay.
Row 1. Column 1. Screensaver. Hawaii. Movies. Row 1.
Okay, so to turn it off. The internet says to press the menu button 3 times, but I think you need to go in the settings and turn it off there.
Well, you know that internet. Sometimes it just gets things wrong.
It does.
Anyway, you already know how to use it, Gene, so yes, the answer
is
yes.
It does.
That's Saver, Hawaii.
It's great news.
Movies, TV shows, row 1, column 2.
You can see why this would be great, though. If you can't see the screen, you could still navigate it.
Right.
And VoiceOver is a big part of iOS and Macintosh as well.
And so it is in the settings. This remote has been very twitchy.
You know, I think three menu tabs does work, but it's not. This remote is flaky right now.
Yeah. So accessibility is in the settings.
I've been storing it in the freezer.
There we go. It's maybe it's on slow. It's just,
well, it is on slow, but that's slower than it should be.
You've been storing the remote in the freezer? I don't know why. I keep pointing it at it, too, as we've learned. Remember, you pointed it through your kidney and it still worked. So you can point it at yourself and maybe it would work better. But settings, accessibility.
Good job.
This is a bigger question. Would you recommend upgrading if you had the old Apple TV? I mean, because of Siri and...
Yeah. I have to say I'm loving the new Apple TV.
Yeah.
One of the things the old Apple TV wasn't very good at was you really got whatever Apple said you could have, and that's it. And if you didn't want it, well, all you could do was hide it. Because they have an app store, I think that's a huge difference. And we're already seeing quite a few apps. For Twit alone, there's 4 apps now. I think it's expensive. It starts at $150. That's probably all you need, by the way, unless you play a lot of games. I think that it's a big upgrade. They're bigger than I thought initially. You know?
So, yeah. All right. I got an email, and I will tell you who it was from in just a moment. Her name is Anne, and she has a 13-year-old son who said his goal was to... See, there it is. My 13-year-old son told me at the start of his summer vacation in June that his goal for the summer was to learn some programming languages.
Good
and
for
make
him.
An app.
Yay.
By the first day of 8th grade, he had mastered Swift.
What?
Through diverse online free tutoring programs.
What?
And the same day, he got an email from Apple that his very first app, Raptor Run, was on sale.
He's 13.
It's on sale, but it was free. But
well, on the store.
Yes, it's on the store. So there it is, Raptor Run.
Look at that. am so thrilled.
Tap to start, and I'm going to jump over these things when they come. Look at the little guy. I'm getting to the raptor.
He says, I'm 13 in the description of the game, and I'm excited to have you guys try this out, so make sure you leave a review. This is a simple game where you need to duck or jump by swiping to dodge
swiping.
The walls.
That's what I was doing.
Meanwhile, being chased by a raptor.
That was a user
it's
error.
Kind of flappy tap. Bird. Sort of flappy bird.
It's very cute. And so Anne said, you know, she has to be the one in the App Store because you can't be under 13
right.
to
I'm giving it app. 5 stars.
But this
right
is
now.
Inspiring.
Very inspiring.
Raptor Run.
This
go
is
get
the,
it.
This is the week. The Hour of Code is this week.
Oh, yeah. December 7th.
You know, if yeah, that was yesterday, but still.
The schools. Hour of Code was yesterday.
Well, you said December 7th. I don't know when the Hour of Code was, to be honest. It's kind of a brief
period. This week is Computer
Science
Week.
The whole week is Computer Science Week,
and
yeah.
So
if your school doesn't have computer science courses, talk to them. Encourage them. It's surprising how few do. And you can get more information at code.org. We interviewed their chief technologist on the new screensavers this week. It's just great. Get kids, you know, not just consuming content, but creating it is absolutely wonderful.
Right, and I recommend it on the screensavers, the BitsBox.
That's right.
Which is
it's a
subscription that you can get, which is a great gift. BitsBox, a monthly subscription.
Do you have that for your kids?
So what happens is, you know, there's all these websites to teach kids how to code and apps, but they get tired of it. But this way, like, every month it comes. They don't get tired of it. They just forget about it because they're kids. So every month it comes.
They get reinvigorated,
with these little flashcards
where
they can code. And they use an actual laptop to code. But then they can make apps for their iPad or the iPhone.
Which one, Huck or Milo, is going to be, do you think, the program?
Both.
Really? They both have an aptitude?
Well, Milo thinks he's going to work for SpaceX, and so maybe Huck's.
If he thinks he is, he probably is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And does Annabelle have any interest in coding?
She does, yeah. Good. She's taking a robotics class in school.
Nice,
and,
fantastic.
And they have the Makey Makey, which we talked about on the screensavers, that they use a lot. You know what the Makey Makey is? Remember that?
Yeah.
And you can hook it up to a banana and... So if you
music.
Have emails, you can, if you have, you want feedback, positive, negative, Megan@twit.tv or iostoday@twit.tv, you can leave us a voicemail, which we always love, 757-504-iPad. The other thing you can do is just record a voice memo with your phone, and you can email that to me at Megan@twit.tv, or send us a video and put a video up on YouTube, and we'd love to play that also.
Our show today brought to you by Gazelle. Everybody has iPhones, iPads probably, or maybe you're in the market for iPhones and iPads. This is a really good time to both sell an iPad or an iPhone and to buy. It's not a coincidence. They happen at the same time. Those new iPhones are here. We love the new iPhone 6S. Maybe you want one. Trade in your old iPhone and get top dollar at Gazelle.com. The best part is when you go to Gazelle.com, you can get a quote right now, but you're not locked in. They're locked in. They're guaranteeing 30 days they're going to honor that quote. But you have 30 days to decide to get the phone, transfer your data over, and then push the button, pull the trigger. They'll send you a box, postage paid, so you don't have to pay the postage. And then they'll turn it around. They'll wipe your data if you forget to and get you cash for your old junk. Not just iPhones, iPads, iPods, Macintoshes, a huge variety of equipment, including Blackberries and Galaxies and Surface tablets. And there's just a ton of stuff. They pay by check or PayPal, or a little pro tip here, if you buy a lot of stuff on Amazon, get the Amazon gift cards, because they bump the value of those up by 5% as a little thank you. Gazelle.com. And it's good to sell, but it's also good to buy, just like giving and receiving. Better to receive than give, better to give than receive, I don't know, but at Gazelle you can buy a modestly used iPhone or iPad or Galaxy phone for a very affordable price. Great for a kid for the holidays. You know, your 12-year-old's been begging you for a phone. Don't give them a brand new one at top dollar. Get them locked into a contract and all that stuff. Go to Gazelle.com. You can also get Android devices, as I mentioned, the Galaxies. They have 3 different quality levels. So if you want like new, you can, but you'll pay a little less if you get slightly used. And in every case, they're fully functional. They go through a 30-point inspection. There's no scratches on the screen, things like that. These things really work. And you always have 30 days to return it if you're not 100% satisfied. Gazelle. To buy or to sell, gotta go to Gazelle. I hear Santa on the roof. Maybe it's me. Would you like to sing a little song?
No, but I'd like to hear you sing a little song. Or whatever holiday you celebrate.
This is really worn out. It's welcome, this hat. So, it's ABCAP time.
ABCAP time. Funny hats. Our favorite app of the week.
There's no way to stop it.
Good.
I feel like I have a fish in my hat.
It is an amazing hat.
Yeah.
Where did you get that hat?
It just appeared one day at the bottom of my chimney. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling Santa might have dropped it.
Huh.
If you want it back, Chris, I got it for you.
Santa can use that, and then people would wake up.
Okay,
do you know the Moment app? That tells you how often you use your phone. Have you ever heard of that app?
No.
This is a great app. Moment is a great app. It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you be more mindful. So it will run in the background of your phone and tell you, so you can check later, how many times you picked up your phone.
Ooh, I don't want to know.
So how long you were using it. Mm-hmm. And then it can, you know, nag you to not use it as
much.
So that's an app that I think Sarah mentioned it on iFi for the iPhone. I just recently found it and I loved it. And the creator of that app has just come out with a new app called Focus, which is similar but keeps you from texting and driving.
Oh, we need this.
And also keeps you from texting and walking.
Okay.
Which I have heard is now called Wexting. Have you heard that?
No, it's not called Wexting. No one calls it Wexting.
Can we call it Wexting?
No, we cannot.
Can I call it?
No. Okay, Wexting.
Okay, let's combine texting and walking and just call it texting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so Focus is here.
Is it really that dangerous to text? I guess you could fall into a hole.
It is dangerous. Oh my gosh.
You know what's dangerous? So, the size of this hat.
Right. So a lot of apps will just make your phone stop working. This one nags you. And the creator of the app, his name is Kevin Holish. It's actually his voice. So now I have to pretend that I'm walking.
Okay.
See if it...
It probably won't.
Start using my phone.
What will it say? Like, stop it.
That's what it says.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Stop Wexting.
Yeah, I would walk around. John, can you walk around with my phone? Try to Wext.
Go ahead, John. Just try to Wext it.
Okay. And see. Well, we won't be able to hear it, but...
Right now, John's getting scolded for walking and texting.
Is the app supposed to be running?
The app is running in the background. But try to open an app of some kind.
Try to text or Wext.
Send a text message to my mom to tell her I love her.
No periods, or it's not sincere.
Okay, so not working right now, but I guarantee
it works. Yeah.
And also when you're driving, which I found, if you're going to use this app...
This is good exercise, John. Keep going.
It really just says, stop, turn off your phone, put it down. I told you to put it down.
Faster, John. Faster. Faster. So it nags you. Oh, oh.
You get a call.
Okay. Stop walking around, it's saying.
I'm not going to answer that call. Focus. Focus is what
it's
called.
Well, you know, do you have the sound switched off?
No. The sound is on.
I think
on.
It's a good idea, though.
So.
Mostly for driving.
Mostly for driving. But if you're going to listen to us while you're driving, which is perfectly acceptable, just turn your, turn the podcast app on and then turn your phone off so that it won't nag you.
You know, on Android, there are apps, very good apps, that know when you're driving. They know when you're,
asleep, when you're awake.
No, they know when you're in a meeting. They know when you're doing other stuff. And you can set them to, for instance, when you're driving, automatically text somebody saying, I'm driving. I'm not going to answer the phone. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to respond to your text. Unfortunately, you're a little limited with iPhone because Apple won't let you know enough about what's going on.
Right.
But you can at least tell if you're moving.
Mm-hmm.
How about battery life? Have you noticed?
I have noticed with both the Moment app and the Focus app, it does. But this, I'm using the 6S Plus, which is huge. And,
There's plenty of juice.
Your kid could
turn that off.
They could.
Yeah, all you do is close the app, and it doesn't do anything anymore.
That's true.
Yeah,
you need something that locks it down.
Yeah.
You can also get an email report card.
That the kid's definitely turning off.
But this is really good. Oh, here you can listen to the voice. I think, but we'll do a test drive. Start using
maybe that's
it, see
the...
if it works. It was. I guarantee it was working because I was at a soccer
it's
game.
It's not
yesterday.
This it's that not, makes you it, think
I know,
you're
but
walking.
It's not, but it. But, John was really walking.
He was trucking.
Yeah, so...
Well, he does that. He's got a treadmill desk at home. That's all he does. He walks all the time. I can barely get in to sit still.
Focus. I think it's good for me because I do need to be reminded sometimes.
Yeah,
because
your brain anything
turns
that helps.
Off. Your brain
anything
turns off, and
helps.
You think, oh, I need to answer that. And
yeah.
So focus. By Kevin Holish.
Let me show you. I mentioned Paprika. Let me show you Sidefari. So if you have an iPad Pro, actually any iPad, you know that you can do two things at once. You can be surfing the web, for instance, and then launch a note-taking app to write down notes from the, and that's really cool. All you have to do is swipe in. Let's do this. Swipe in from the side there, and you'll see a list of apps.
What'd you buy me?
I bought you something good. Don't look. That's your Christmas present. You'll see a list of apps that you can run. There's one little negative. If you've got a browser open, you can't have another browser open. And for instance, many blogs, you blog from the browser. So mm-hmm. How do you solve that? Well, this is a really fun program, 99 cents, called Sidefari. It's Safari that runs in the side that lets you have two browser windows open. So I'm going to go to leoville.net, which is my blog, log in, and then I can post blog entries on one side from Safari on another side. So, I mean, it's simple. Doesn't do a lot more than that. It's using WebKit, so it's exactly, in fact, if you look at it, the exact Safari experience, it won't be any different. And your passwords will still be remembered. All the functions are here. The toolbar is a little bit different, but it's otherwise, it is Safari. So that is called Sidefari, 99 cents. Renee Ritchie told me about it. Very, very handy. Highly recommended.
That's good, because I use Google Docs to write, and sometimes I'm doing research on the web, and
right.
You know, I use Google Docs in the browser. That would be great for the iPad Pro.
Yeah, it's very handy. So there you have it.
Well, I think we've done it again. What we've done is the question.
We broke the internet. That's what we did. I will come back next week. I'm going to get this kangaroo thing working. I apologize, because I wanted to have it, but it just came this morning,
yeah.
So I wasn't able to spend any time setting it up.
You tried.
We did.
All we ask
I tore
is you
my
do your
hair
best.
Out, but we'll get it.
So email me, Megan@twit.tv.
Do I get a trophy for participation?
Yes, you get this little bag of Olo Clip.
I participated.
Goodness.
Wait a minute. You didn't tell me you had this.
Well, that was the thing I brought, the little plastic thing.
That's what I needed. The clip. It's here.
If you have suggestions, let us know. We are here every week. We will even be here the holiday week. We are going to do an episode that we might record earlier.
John, could you give me the Olo clip?
But it will be all about opening your new devices, everything that you got for the holidays.
And don't let your big sister steal the little black baggie that came with the Olo
exactly.
clip, because it'll never work.
So we'll show you how to set up all your new devices, all your
That's
iPads.
That's going to be fun.
I think it'll be fun,
are
too.
Are you going to wear jammies?
I am. I'm
going
to be dressed up for our holiday party.
Oh, it's right before we go to our holiday party.
But I might wear pajamas to our holiday party. You never know.
Oh, that's okay. That's allowed.
Okay.
I have my tuxedo jammies. Be perfect.
And I've been told that we need a new ending. You and Sarah used to howl, and now we're just left hanging. So what do you think?
Howling, no.
No. How about, no, I don't want to howl.
How about if I sing a song?
Yes.
Whoa, Lore. Whoa, 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 whoa. Cantare. Whoa, 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 whoa. Nel blu. Dipinto di blu.